I sighed, my eyes drifting up to the library before me. Once more, I was relieved that Twilight had brought me here. I had some questions for her that she needed to answer. I stood, trotting up to the library door, pushing it open. The library was much the same as it always was, except now there was smoke coming from the cutie mark burnt into the floor. Twilight stood on the other side of it, her eyes closed. I stepped in, closing the door behind me.
"Twilight?"
I said softly. The lavender mare's eyes snapped open and she regarded me curiously.
"Star, what are you doing here?"
she said. I grimaced. Twilight hadn't brought me here? Then why was I in the library? I decided that maybe I had wanted to speak to the mare so badly that my subconscious desires brought me there. I plopped onto my haunches.
"I've got some questions for you," I said. "We're in the Everfree, but the memory orb isn't working. Where's the chart?"
Twilight smiled coyly.
"The chart is in the forest, I'm sure of this," she said.
Her horn glowed briefly and then dissipated. "I've strengthened the spell on the other half. It's the best that I can do for now." An image of the orb appeared in the air, pulsing softly. "There are ruins scattered all around the Everfree, remnants of a past we try so hard to forget."
"The war?"
I asked. Twilight nodded. "During the war, it was thought that the natural resources of the Everfree could be used to power the war effort. The ministries could never get a very good foothold there, for some strange reason," Twilight explained. "Only Stabletech had the resources and the determination to be able to build there successfully. All of my ministry's projects there just went to Tartarus."
"Stable 101, I said.
My history lessons kicked in, reminding me that Stable 101 was the place where Red Eye had come from.
"Spark will most likely be there. It was the site of the old castle that once belonged to the Royal Sisters," Twilight said. "But for you to go there with the elements still around will be disastrous."
I sighed.
"I know, I've met one of the elements already. Kindness," I said. "Do you know just how difficult he was to fight? I've never seen power like that."
"The physical bodies of the elements are nothing more than spells holding their will," Twilight said, sitting across from me. "By defeating Kindness' mortal form, you have merely delayed the inevitable."
"What do you mean?"
I asked.
"I destroyed her. She's gone."
"Far from it," Twilight replied, snorting. "Kindness's physical form may be gone, but her spirit remains. It is awake and nothing will stop her from forging a new golem to inhabit. The same goes for the others as well." I blinked.
"What the fuck? You mean to tell me that I can't defeat them?"
I said angrily. Twilight grimaced. "They are the elements of harmony, the greatest of ponykind's virtues made whole," she said. "Do you really think that you can beat them?" I nodded.
"Then you are a fool who will only get herself killed,"
I snarled under my breath.
"So what do I do? Just stop? I have to defeat Spark," I said. "You know that."
Twilight grinned.
"Lucky for you, then, I have an ace up my sleeve," the Lavender Alicorn said. "You see, there exists a very special school of magic that you already know a little bit of. Memory spells." "Memory spells?" I said. "How are they going to get me past the elements?"
"By diving into their mortal form's minds," Twilight replied. "You should be able to use that opportunity to confront the elements and disperse their physical bodies." The mare's horn glowed, sending a spark of magic soaring through the air at my horn. I closed my eyes, allowing the details of the spell to wash over me. It was a very simple spell, related closely to the mind dives that I had once used on Spark, but a little more aggressive than that spell had been. I opened my eyes once more, meeting Twilight's gaze once more. I paused for a brief moment before speaking again.
"Thank you," I said. "I had one other question, though. Something Cruelty said. She mentioned that they wanted to join Spark in her crusade to create a perfect world. I thought the elements tried to stop Spark. What happened to them?"
Twilight grimaced.
"I do not know the answer to that question, Star," she said. "This is very disturbing news indeed. If Spark has convinced the other elements to help her, then we will need to move even quicker towards finishing this."
She glanced away, a smirk developing on her face.
"It's time for you to wake up, Star. Finish this, and don't come back to me until it's done."
My eyes fluttered open, groaning as I pushed myself up from the hard ground. I let my gaze drift upwards, noticing that it was still night out. The others were all asleep.
I frowned. Wasn't some pony supposed to be switching watch? Furthermore, I hadn't been woken up for my own turn, which made me concerned. I glanced down at my pipbuck. It was the next morning. I looked back up at the sky, noticing the stars still there.
That's odd, I said softly.
Violet grunted in her sleep next to me. Sunshine and Lilith lay nearby, along with Steeljack. I returned my gaze to the stars above. They were cold. There was none of the life that the stars usually held. I wondered if this had something to do with this particular glade of the Everfree. It wouldn't surprise me. This place was already outside of what was considered the natural order. As I was pondering this, my eyes did a double take. Something flashed before me.
Did that?
I said, blinking. The stars stood in the sky, much like they always did. But stars didn't move.
Violet,
I said softly, using my magic to push her and the others until they woke up.
We need to move. Now, we need to go.
Roar!
A massive roar cut through what I was going to say next, the stars above shifting drastically as the monster above began to move. This was one beast I was very familiar with from my sharing of Twilight's memories. A starspawn, an Ursa. And this was a big one. The others shot up instantly as the stars gave way to the light of day. Two fierce yellow eyes appeared in the star field, accompanied by a massive mouth of silvery teeth.
Run!
I shouted, spinning about to face the others. I charged forward, their hoofbeats matching mine as we fled the glade. The monstrous beast roared even louder, a gigantic paw made of stars slamming down on a patch of trees behind us. I didn't even look back as I jumped over a fallen log. Growling and crunching filled the glade, the starspawn giving chase. I growled under my breath. We couldn't keep doing this. Too much senseless running meant that we could fall into another trap like before. I stopped dead, turning on a dime and pulling up Stargazer.
Lilith, take on the air and lay down some cover fire, I called out. Steeljack, you and I are going to hold the line here while Violet and Sunshine try to snare this thing. Nixies, you know how to fire a weapon.
Lilith nodded, spreading her wings and flying straight up, the bitch unwinding from its holder. The trees weren't as thick, giving the Pegasus room to stay out of the range of the starspawn.
Are you crazy? Violet said. Have you seen the size of that thing?
The tree line crashed down, revealing a giant starfield claw. The starspawn was deadly close.
I know, but we can't keep doing this, I growled. We need to get to the chart. If we keep running away, all Hibbly Bibbly will never get to Spark.
I flung Stargazer up, squeezing off a burst of shots even as I dropped into ESATS to queue up a more aimed attack at the starspawn's face. Time fell back into place and Stargazer continued to howl, sending a barrage of fire into the monster. It roared in reply, rearing back to slam its claws down on us. The field of stars was dizzying, confusing. I couldn't tell where the thing's legs connected to its body or how large its head was. A shrieking whine added its note to the confusion as the bitch's payload went right into the amorphous blob of a beast. The missile exploded, causing the starspawn to falter for a brief moment before it went to bring down its claws. My horn flared, casting Shining Armor's shield spell. The purple barrier flickered to life as the starspawn landed on it. The shield held, but the strength required to keep it up was draining me fast. I grunted under the force of the monster's weight as Lilith peppered the great beast with missile after missile. The starspawn howled and shifted, falling away from my shield. I moaned in pain as I immediately dropped the spell. Steeljack moved into action, bringing up Tempest's rifle and unloading it into the Ursa. It shrank back for a moment, roaring loudly.
Shit, are we even hurting it?
Violet said as she lifted Thunderflash into the air. Its unique silver fire shot across the clearing, impacting with little effect on the starry skin of the monster. Sunshine's horn lit up, sending shoots of vines up around what I assumed were supposed to be starspawn legs. The constellation beast growled, snapping and pulling back as it broke the vines. Another set of missiles struck the starspawn, drawing its attention to Lilith. With a quick swipe of its claw, the black Pegasus went tumbling to the ground.
Lilith!
I shouted, sending an unaimed burst of fire in the general direction of the monster while Violet made her way over to the armor-clad mare. Lilith stood shakily, her left wing hanging limply from its side. I grimaced. The starspawn roared again, picking up a tree in its amorphous blob and tossing it at us. I spat out several shots, severing the trees into two pieces while Sunshine grabbed them with her magic. She was panting hard, sweat pouring from her brow as she focused on the wood with her horn. She snarled, spinning the trees around and around until they came implements of death. They glowed green with earth magic.
"Take this!"
Sunshine grunted, sending the spinning trees right back at the Ursa. They struck with deadly force, tearing at the very essence of the starspawn. It snarled and howled in pain as the pink mare's horn glowed brighter, pouring more and more magic into the makeshift throwing weapons. The pieces of wood were now spinning so fast that I couldn't see them anymore, just starry blood leaking onto the ground below us. Pop! The magic cut off instantly. Sunshine's horn flaring once more before sputtering and finally dying. The pink unicorn passed out, hitting the ground with a resounding thud. My eyes widened.
"Sunshine!"
I shouted, jumping over next to her. Nixis appeared next to me.
"Let me take her," he said. "Worry about the starspawn."
I nodded, allowing the hellhound to pick up the unconscious mare. Her horn was blackened, the smell of burning filling the air around us while a unique howl echoed throughout the entire clearing. I looked up at what was left of the monster. The starspawn was on fire. The monstrous beast writhed and flailed, trying to escape the fire that had started consuming its body. The surrounding trees were beginning to catch as well, the wild blaze consuming the tiny glade.
Shit, 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 shit.
My brain spasmed in panic, and all I could think of was about getting the others out safely. I looked over at Violet. She was helping Lilith limp along, their eyes white and terrified in the flickering firelight.
"We need to move now,"
I called out. I reached into my saddlebags and yanked out Twilight's memory orbs, a purple sphere pulsing with energy. Taking care to not focus my magic on the device but instead on the air around it, I lifted it up to eye level. The pulsing of the orb began to speed up slightly when I pointed it northeast, according to my pip buck. Thankfully, that was away from the flaming star bear that was dying behind us. I pointed off in the direction.
"That way, Violet, help me get Lilith up on my back."
"I can walk fine,"
Lilith said groggily. I grimaced, shaking my head.
"No time,"
I said forcefully, grabbing a hold of the Pegasus with my telekinesis and depositing her on my back. Lilith grumbled but ultimately stayed there as I began to move. The wall of flame was spreading out behind us, perpetuated by the escaping starspawn. The monster was trying to get away from the fires, inadvertently setting more of the forest ablaze while it moved. It howled loudly, a deathly howl of rage and pain. I almost would have felt bad for it if it hadn't tried to eat us. We continued moving forward in the direction that Twilight's memory orb was pulling us towards. I glanced about, worried that the howling and flailing that the star beast was doing would attract even more unwanted attention, but nothing showed up on my EFS to indicate anything hostile. Eventually, we made it out of the range of the fire. We slowed to a stop, coming to rest along the underbrush. I set Lilith down and allowed Violet to go to work, her healing spell wrapping the mare's wing in the soft glow of her magic. While she tended to Lilith, I had Nixis lay Sunshine down on the earthy floor.
"She's still unconscious," the hellhound said.
I grimaced, my gaze drawn up to the mare's burnt horn.
"She put out a lot of magic back there,"
I said, placing a hoof to her brow. She was hot.
"She's burning up."
I lifted out a healing potion to Sunshine's lips, using my magic to hold open her mouth in order to force the liquid down.
"Is she going to be all right?"
Nixis said. I shrugged. I truly didn't know. I looked over at Violet, who was finishing up with Lilith's wing. She trotted over once she was done.
"Lilith is going to be all right, but she's not going to be doing much flying for a while," she said. "That thing ripped out a few of her flight feathers. Well, the feathers that aren't metal, at least. Some of those are damaged or bent."
"Don't you guys worry about me,"
Lilith piped up, grinning as she downed a restoration potion. The hellhounds had been rather kind to us when it came to medical supplies, but even then every ounce of potion was necessary. Violet's horn took over my work, going over Sunshine's body and horn while I looked through our bags for the rest of our supplies. My eyes bulged out of my head when I noticed a rather sizable hole in one of my bags. All the medical supplies I'd been carrying were gone.
"Shit,"
I said, showing the bag to Violet, who looked up and sighed.
"Well, counting what we just spent, we're down to less than half of what we started out with," she said.
Her horn flared again, scanning over the unconscious Sunshine. "And I have no idea why she won't wake up. Her body seems to be in normal condition and she's breathing, but it's like she's just not there. What if she burnt herself out too bad? Her eyes met mine. I knew that look, Violet's protective mother look. She wasn't ready to count Sunshine out of the game, not yet. I looked down at the other unicorn. She had willingly pushed herself past her own limits to stop the starspawn and had sacrificed her own magic to do so. I wasn't ready to give up on her yet either. A fleeting thought shot through my mind.
I have an idea, I said. It's not exactly a good one, but it might get Sunshine back to us.
Violet cocked an eyebrow.
What is it?
She said. I sighed.
A more advanced memory dive spell that Twilight gave to me, I said. It's sort of like what I did when I was forced out of my body by Spark. I'd be able to dive into Sunshine's mind and see if I can contact her. Twilight told me I'm supposed to use it on the elements if they show up, but I don't see why it wouldn't help us here.
Violet grimaced, glowering at me. I knew she would.
Not happening. With both of you out of commission and Lilith unable to fly, what if something came along? We'd be sitting duck star, and you know it,
she said. I nodded.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Violet, I said. But we owe it to Sunshine. She's been a good friend to us. We're not leaving her behind. She'd be as good as dead.
I glanced around to check my EFS again. There was still nothing.
Look, it's clear right now. I'll pop in and back out in a jiffy.
Violet sighed, clearly mulling over our options.
All right, but let's move off this pass first, she said. I'd rather be concealed than in plain sight while you do this.
I nodded, reaching out with my magic and gently lifting Sunshine in it. We retreated into the underbrush while Steeljack and Nixie stood guard. Violet helped Lilith lay down next to Sunshine.
I don't know exactly how this works, I admitted as I moved to touch horns with Sunshine. I just hope that it does work.
My horn glowed softly, a line of magic extending to Sunshine's horn. The light between us grew in size, enveloping both of us. My mind fell away into nothingness, fully absorbed into the mind of the mare in front of me. I blinked. I was witness to another pony's memories, just like before when I'd used the mind dive on Lilith and Spark. Sunshine was trotting through the public areas of Ten Pony Tower, smiling and waving at the others in the main hallway. The hoity-toity elite paid little attention to her, but the shop owners waved back. Sunshine stopped at the end of the hallway, glancing back and forth before trotting into a nearby elevator. She pressed a button with her magic, the elevator humming softly. I followed closely behind. The door opened and Sunshine exited into a cold, dark hall that led to a large open chamber. Sunshine stood in the middle of the chamber, a stylized cutie mark that belonged to Twilight Sparkle emblazoned on the floor. She looked up into the darkness.
Hello?
She called out.
Sunshine Sky, a voice replied. You have been summoned before the Council of the Twilight Society.
My will is the Council's, Sunshine said. What is it that you wish of me?
The Alicorn, another voice said. Radiant Star, the Ministry Mare, you are to perform a task for us.
What sort of task? Sunshine said pensively.
You are to befriend the Mare, the first voice said.
My mind went blank.
What?
I thought as the voice continued to speak.
Join her in her cause. You are expected to provide regular reports on her progress.
What exactly am I supposed to be reporting on? Sunshine asked.
The Ministry Mare is a possible threat to the Twilight Society and to the Wasteland as a whole. If she becomes compromised, we expect you to act accordingly,
the second voice said. Sunshine narrowed her gaze at the darkness.
I'm assuming you expect me to remove her, she said.
Take that however you wish, the first voice said. But this task can only be completed by you. The death of Dusk Blue, the traitor who sought to overthrow us, has made the rest of the society more cautious. You are the only one close enough to the Ministry Mare.
What should I do then?
Go to her. Offer to travel with her, the second voice said. And watch.
Sunshine sighed. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Sunshine was spying on me. I wanted out of this memory so badly. I didn't even know how I was supposed to help her. I wasn't sure if I even wanted to help her.
All right, I'll do it, Sunshine said.
I was fuming angry. We were in the most hostile environment I'd ever been in, and I was taking a major risk to save her. I was risking Violet. I growled, realizing that my spirit was disconnected from the scene unfolding before me. I blinked. The sunshine in front of me dissipated into nothingness as the memory changed. Sunshine was sitting in Duskhove, watching me as I interacted with the ghouls there. A soft smile was written all over her face. The scene accelerated, showing post-Duskhove as we were leaving Ten Pony Tower, Ponyville, Everfree. And then finally, blackness.
So, you've seen the truth of the matter,
a voice in the void said behind me. I spun around, seeing another version of Sunshine, the true version, standing there. She had a pained expression on her face.
Sunshine!
I snapped.
What is all of this? Why are you spying on me?
Sunshine looked down at her hoofs, shuffling them idly.
I wanted to tell you, she said softly. But I was scared. The society wanted me to watch you because they thought you would threaten them. There was nothing I could do. You could have refused,
I hissed.
You could have told me. I would have understood if you were frightened. You lied to me, Sunshine.
I know,
Sunshine cried. I could see tears forming in her eyes.
And I'm so sorry about it. At first, I thought that if I did this, if I did it well, it would secure me a place in the society among the council. I tried to disconnect myself from you, but then...
Then what?
I said. Sunshine looked away for a moment and then back. Her eyes glistened in the inky blackness of the void.
But then I wanted to be your friend, she said. For real, not because some pony asked me to. You saved my life, and I never can repay you that fact.
My eyes widened.
I should have told you, and not like this. Something's wrong with me, Star. I'm a bad pony, a bad friend, and I'm being punished for it.
I looked down at my own hoofs, my anger seeping away as I returned the pink mare's gaze. I stepped forward, wrapping a wing around the crying unicorn. I couldn't rightfully be angry at her. She was sincere in her apology, and her honest heart spoke out through her soul. I believed her.
It's all right, I said softly. You can make it through the sunshine, but we need you to wake up in order to do that. You're unconscious.
How are you here, then?
Sunshine sputtered.
Mind dive spell, very complicated stuff. Maybe after you wake up I'll teach it to you,
I said.
But you have to wake up for us. We're running out of time and we're going to need your help.
Sunshine looked up, sighing.
You really promise you'll teach me that spell?
She said. I giggled softly.
Of course I will, but after this is over and you wake up, no more secrets. You're my friend, Sunshine. I want to believe that, so no more lying, all right?
I said. Sunshine nodded.
What happened to me anyway?
She asked. I grimaced.
Magical burnout. You really packed a wallop on that star sponsor. Set him on fire, actually,
I said.
You passed out during that part.
Then how do I wake up? Sunshine said, looking out into the black void stretching out in all directions.
That's easy,
I said.
Just think of your friends. Think about me, about Violet, Steeljack, Lilith, Patch, Nixies. Think about all of them and find your way home. You can do this, Sunshine.
Star?
Yes? Thank you for believing me. I'm really sorry. Let's deal with this once you're awake, all right?
Sunshine's eyes forced open with a loud gasp that turned into a sputtering cough. My own eyes fluttered open, noting the presence of Violet right next to us. We were, thankfully, still in the underbrush. Nixies and Steeljack stood off to the side where Lilith still lay nursing her wing. I wondered how long I'd been in there. Violet went immediately into hurt mother mode, helping Sunshine sit up and down under the healing potion. I grimaced at that, given the status of our medical supplies, but I wasn't about to argue with Violet. Instead, I sat up myself and stared at Sunshine.
Before we move any further, I said finally, no more secrets. Tell them.
Sunshine meeped, hiding her head for a brief second before finally nodding.
Tell us what?
Violet said. Sunshine raised a hoof, stopping her.
I was sent to keep tabs on Star by the Twilight Society, she said.
Both Steeljack and Nixies had entered the underbrush, gawking at the pink unicorn.
You were what?
Lilith said. I placed a hoof to her mouth. Shh, I said.
You'll call attention to ourselves.
Lilith nodded and I removed the hoof. The black mare and Violet were now glaring at Sunshine.
Why were you spying on us? What does the Twilight Society want with Star?
Violet said.
They can't have her. They didn't want her physically, Sunshine said. They only wanted to know if she would become a threat to them. It doesn't matter. I'm done with the mission. I can't do that to a friend.
A friend?
Lilith said forcefully.
What makes you think?
I raised a hoof, shushing all of them.
Sunshine is trying to make amends here, you two,
I said.
The Twilight Society put her in a bad position and she came clean. She's not at fault here. She spoke truthfully.
Violet glanced over at Sunshine, sighing. She lifted her hoof to her.
If Star's okay with this, then I am too. I trust her judgment, she said.
Sunshine took the hoof, shaking it. Lilith snorted but lifted her own hoof as well.
Despite the sneaky spy stuff, you have been pretty cool, the black mare said. But if you so much as lay a bad hoof on Star, I will kill you, formalities and all.
Sunshine giggled.
I'd expect nothing less from you, Lilith, she said, looking up at Steeljack and Nixies. And what about you two?
The Ministry Mare is wise,
Nixies said, smiling toothily.
I trust her.
The Twilight Society messed up. They should have sent a mare who was less brave,
Steeljack added. Sunshine blushed and I grinned as I pushed myself off the underbrush.
How's your magic feeling? Violet said, her own horn glowing as she scanned the pink mare.
Sunshine squinted, trying to access her magic, but nothing happened.
Seems like I'm burnt out for a little while, Sunshine said. Well, don't try and force it, or you'll just end up hurting yourself worse,
Violet replied. She floated out a pistol with a holster out of one of her bags.
Take this. It's not much, but it's all I've got. Not like we have an extra battle saddle or something like that. Thanks, Sunshine said, allowing Violet to levitate the holster around her neck. You do know how to fire a mouth grip, right?
I asked, cocking an eyebrow. Sunshine rolled her eyes at me.
Of course I do. Just point the barrel at what you want to kill and tongue the trigger, right?
She said. I face-hoofed. It would have to do, though.
Right, then. We've got a chart to find, then, shall we? I don't think we should be spending too much more time here than we have already,
I said, levitating up my bags, including my holy one. I was already considering how lucky I was to have placed Twilight's memory orb into my side pocket, otherwise it would have become lost as well. I briefly wondered what else was missing from that pack, but knew that whatever it was long gone. I slipped Stargazer into its harness.
Can you stand?
Violet asked Sunshine. The pink mare pushed herself up onto four hoofs, nodding.
Good, Star. You know which way to go?
I yanked Twilight's memory orb out of my pocket. It was pulsing strongly. I lifted it and gauged the directions it pulsed in. It was still pulsing faster in the northeast. I pointed.
That way,
I said, starting to move. The others followed behind me, the sounds of the forest returning while we walked along. Lilith's wing was still bandaged up, but she kept up on the ground just fine. I trotted in front, holding aloft the memory orb that was our guide. I pulled up my automap on my pipbuck, not surprised that we're dead lost in the middle of the Everfree. There were no landmarks nearby that gave us any clue which way we had entered the forest. Just more forest. It was as if the entire place had become bigger on the inside. My mind ran sick with thoughts as we walked. The Twilight Society thought I was enough of a threat to send Sunshine to spy on me. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't fault them for being cautious. They were only looking out for themselves and by proxy the ponies they protected. Discord had thought that I would bring about the end of the world. What was I going to do? I was going to try and stop Spark by saving her. Was that the wrong thing? I couldn't grasp how I could be the reason for chaos and destruction. They had to be wrong.
Because you're the Ministry Mayor, I thought. You're the one who's supposedly going to become a goddess.
I grimaced at the thought of it. I wasn't a goddess. I didn't want to be one. I just wanted my old life back, to spend time with Violet, settle down. None of this insanity that life seemed pretty bent on putting me through. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was going to happen. I just didn't know what. After about several hours of walking, which surprisingly equaled out to several miles per my pipbuck, we had to stop to take another breather. We found ourselves in a thinner portion of the forest, near a few rocky cliffs that went up into more forest. Looking up, my eyes widened.
Hey, check it out,
I said. The rocky outcroppings turned into a small flat building that sat right on top of the cliff. A set of metal stairs went from the valley floor up to it. Several large pylons extended from the top of the building. Power lines snaked from pylon to pylon, now covered in green moss that hung everywhere.
It's an old power station, Violet said. What's it doing all the way out here? Twilight said that they built stations and buildings like this during the war, hoping to harness the power of the Everfree's natural energies, I said. I don't think it worked out well for them. Is it charred? Is it there?
Lilith said. I pulled out the memory orb and it pulsed brightly. I grimaced, nodding.
Looks like we're heading up, I said, testing a hoof on the ancient metal stairwell.
It creaked loudly, but it held as I put my full weight onto it. The stairs took the opportunity to prove once again that they were the most villainous creature in this entire wasteland by groaning with every step, taunting me about my weight. I stepped out from the top of the stairs onto the metal platform in front of the building. The area in front of Power Station was a complete mess. Several sky wagons lay about, the skeletons of ponies hanging out of their windows. Debris cluttered the entrance, the doors hanging off of its hinges. My EFS indicated several close blips, fast moving against the sea of red as I trotted up to the door. I used my telekinesis to clear away the debris. I ripped the door off of the hinges fully, setting it carefully aside. I flared my horn, sending a soft light down the dark tunnel inside. Nothing.
We move in carefully, I said. Could just be rat roaches, but I don't want to be caught off guard.
I stepped inside, the foul stench of hundreds of years assaulting my senses. Skeletons lined the hallways. There had been ponies here when the bombs fell, I realized. But the Everfree Forest wasn't hit by the bombs directly. There was no radiation here, not even taint. So where had the skywagons come from? I grimaced. The tunnel before us led to a still-locked door.
This place is kind of creepy, Lilith said. Why would the chart be here? Because Discord would probably find this funny, sending us on a wild goose chase to find it, I said, glaring at the door.
More red blips had appeared on my EFS. I focused on the door with my magic, picking the lock my own way. A few seconds later, the door fell inwards, landing on the metal floor. Thankfully, I was able to catch it and set it down softly before it made a lot of noise. I stepped into the room, nearly falling over at the smell. The room was not even close to what a power station main room would look like. It was a large square area with a set of stairs going down in the corner. Two large metal doors sat on each side of the room, but it was what lay in the center that caught my attention. Two flat metal tables had been set up in the middle of the room, medical equipment hooked up at the head of each. The devices appeared to be off or broken, as they were dark. Laying on the first table was the body of an Earth Pony. It was flayed open, its entrails spilling out onto the table. The second table, though, I had never seen a creature like it before. It was insectoid in nature, almost like a larger bloat sprite. The only difference between the two was a gigantic stinger it held on the end of its body. It too was ripped apart, but for some reason, it looked more precise.
Oh, Luna, I heard Violet say as she entered the room beside me. What the fuck is this? I don't know, I said softly. I don't think this was a power station, though. More like a research center, Sunshine breathed.
She stepped up next to the tables, shuddering.
Look, though, this thing was cut open, like it was being studied. The pony, though, wasn't.
My mind ran through a short list of implications that ended me with deciding that the thing on the table had come out of the pony. I shuddered myself at the thought of it. I pulled out Twilight's memory orb, trying to get an idea of where to go, but the orb was now shining brilliantly instead of pulsing. It was only meant for general localization, it seemed. If the chart was here, it was most likely hidden. I realized that Discord would have meant for it to be this way. The only one that could find the chart was me, because Discord wanted me to have it. He just didn't want to give it to me outright. He had to do it his way.
Let's just see if we can find the chart and get the hell out of this place, I said.
A soft glow caught my eye. One of the terminals, sitting on a desk next to one of the metal doors, was still on.
Let's split up into groups. Lilith, you and Nixis will take this door. Steel Jack, you and Sunshine will take the second one. Violet and I will look around here and go downstairs once we're done.
The others nodded, each team pulling open a door.
Be careful and keep in touch. We'll meet back here in 20 minutes, if we haven't found anything, all right?
The others disappeared while I trotted over to the terminal. Violet walked up next to me while I hooked my pip back up to the device. I glanced over at her, noticing her pained expression on her face.
Star, she said. Violet, I replied. What's wrong?
I'm concerned about Sunshine, she said.
I blinked.
About this mission she was given.
I thought you were all right with this,
I said, idly paging through the list of possible passwords on the screen.
I'm more concerned about why she was sent on this mission, Violet said.
And there it was. I hadn't told any pony about Discord's prophecy concerning me, and neither Sunshine or myself exactly said what she was supposed to do if I was a threat. I grimaced.
I mean, what did the Twilight Society even want in the first place? All right, I'm going to tell you this, but only because I think you need to know,
I said softly, turning to face her.
They sent her because they thought I would be a threat, not just to them, but to others.
Seriously, why?
Violet asked.
Because they think there's a chance this is all going to end badly, Violet. And I think they could be right. I've never told you about this, but Discord told me he saw me causing a great storm of chaos in the world.
I said.
That I would be the cause of something terrible, something evil. I don't believe that,
Violet said indignantly.
I'm not sure I agree with that, Violet,
I replied as I finally hit upon the right password. It turned out to be Kazador.
Huh? Wonder what that means,
I thought. The terminal came up to its menu screen.
I've been running towards Spark, trying to figure out how I'm going to stop her, but I honestly don't know how I'm going to do that. What if I'm just running right into her plan? Cruelty said she needs me of all ponies, to complete her plan for her perfect world.
I looked over at Violet.
What if Lucky was just bait? A way to get me to drop my guard so Spark could take over again?
Violet placed a hoof on my shoulder. The coldness of it made me quickly realize it was her metal hoof.
I will not let that happen, she said fiercely. I will fight for you, Star, not just because I love you, but because it is the right thing to do. I'll kill that bitch before I let her near you again.
I smiled, nuzzling her close.
Thanks,
I said, turning my attention back to the terminal.
Now let's see what's...
A scream cut me off from down the hall. I stood, disconnecting the pipback from the terminal and bolting towards where the sound had come from. It was where Sunshine and Steeljack had gone to. I charged past the door, only to see the unicorn and earth pony round the corner. Steeljack pushed the pink mare past me as he stopped and spun, Tempest's rifle swinging out from its battle saddle.
What's a...
I said, my eyes popped up to where he was aiming as something very large and red on my EFS came buzzing around the corner. It was one of the insect creatures from the main room, and it was alive. Its red eyes gleamed in the darkness as it bumbled down the hall. Steeljack unloaded, sending several shots at the beast, but its erratic movement meant that only one or two actually hit. I lifted Stargazer and dropped into ESATS. Time stood still as I studied the monstrous insect. The thing was huge. I growled under my breath, queuing up every shot I could. The spell dropped and Stargazer took aim, pumping hot star metal bullets down the hallway. Some of the shots went wide, ricocheting down the hall, but the majority of them struck home. The insect creature shrieked in pain, but it continued forward. Steeljack and I kept firing right up until the thing was on top of us.
Shit!
I shouted, starting to go for my magic to move the thing back. Before I could get there, though, the insect lashed out with its giant stinger, hitting Steeljack in the chest. The stallion fell to the ground instantly.
Steeljack!
I roared, kicking Stargazer into high gear as I managed to hold the thing in the air with a burst of telekinesis. Bullet after bullet pounded the insect until it was a mere bloody paste on the ground. Below me, Steeljack groaned as he tried to get up.
Violet, get him out of here! Sunshine, were there any more of them?
Violet latched onto Steeljack with her own magic, dragging him into the main lab while I stood there for several 10 seconds.
That might have been the only one, Sunshine replied. It got the drop on us. Shit, Steeljack! What happened?
I heard Lilith cry out before she too saw the stallion.
Oh, fuck, is he all right? Every pony clear back, Violet shouted.
I glanced down the hall, backing up slowly and closing the door. I turned back to where Violet was working over Steeljack with her magic, the chest piece from Tempest still rocking in the corner where she had thrown it. The stout plate had a ragged hole clean through it.
He's just unconscious, but still with us. Shit, this is a nasty wound,
she said, placing bandages over where the insect had stung him.
What the fuck was that thing? I don't know, I said, my eyes returning to the terminal. But I bet that terminal might be able to tell us. Violet, keep an eye on him. I'm gonna find out just what the hell is going on here.
Violet nodded, returning to Steeljack's side. I trotted over to the terminal, flicking through the menus. The only piece of data that the terminal held were two audio logs. I downloaded them to my pipback and sent the first one to play.
Everfree Research Log, Ministry of Arcane Science. Head Researcher Sharpest Cut speaking. What a week it's been. The new cultures are coming along nicely. This research is really on the cutting edge. The Everfree Forest has proven to be a rich ground for genetics research and we're making progress beyond belief. In related news, one of the test subjects got loose and killed one of the workers. Idiot. He practically let it out. Wanted to give the damn thing a hug. Fucking moron. Deserved what he got. It took several of our best telekinetics to put the thing back into its cage. Can't waste the test subjects after all. Every one of them is special and necessary to the success of the project. The insect specimens that we've managed to cultivate are highly aggressive creatures. Their venom is deadly, a direct strike causing death in small animals within hours and intense pain and eventual death in normal-sized ponies over the course of several days. The best antidote we've been able to develop is out of plants cultured from the Everfree Forest itself. I've put a copy of the recipe in my desk for easy recreation along with a single vial of the antidote. Oh, I have to go. The scientists on the medical team are about to begin the autopsy on the dead worker. I have to oversee the whole thing. Signing off.
I blinked, glancing down at the desk. I yanked open the drawer, revealing an index card with several ingredients written on it. Next to it was a vial of clear liquid. I floated it out and walked over to where Violet was still working over Steeljack.
Violet, I said. How is he?
He's burning up, Star. That thing, whatever it was, she said.
I levitated the vial in front of her.
They're poisonous, I said. It was something that the ponies here were working on. They fucking created these things.
Violet looked up at me, cocking her eyebrows.
This is supposed to be an antidote to the poison.
She nodded, taking the vial in her magic and levitating it over to Steeljack's lips. She poured the antidote, forcing it down his throat as best as she could. Steeljack groaned, his eyes fluttering.
That's all we can do for now, Violet said. If this antidote works, we're going to have to wait it out until he's better.
I grimaced. Steeljack needed to live. I wasn't going to let him die. I wouldn't be able to face Patch again. I handed Violet the recipe.
Look over this too, I said. It's supposed to be a recipe for the antidote.
All right, Violet replied, taking the recipe card. She started copying down the ingredients into her pipback.
We should find the shard, I finally said. Violet, you and Sunshine will stay here with Steeljack. The rest of us will go and clean house. If there's any more of those things here, we'll make sure they don't escape.
Violet nodded. I already had an idea of where the shard may be. My eyes drifted to the stairs in the corner. I made my way over to them. The stairs went down a level, leading to a basement. Nixies and Lilith followed closely behind me as I walked down. Turning a corner, I found myself in front of a metal door with a glass window set in it. I glanced inside.
Shit,
I thought. The room beyond the door was essentially a kennel. Except instead of being a kennel for dogs, it was a kennel for these things. Three of the large insects buzzed around a mound that had been built in the center of the room, away from the busted cages the ponies here had been keeping them in. Several skeletons littered the room. My eyes drifted down to the mound. There, shining in the center of it, was a purple crystal chart.
Of fucking course, I said, motioning to where the chart was. Leave it up to Discord to put the chart in the most dangerous spot ever.
Shit, Lilith said.
How in the hell are we going to get in there? I think we're going to need to draw them out, I said, sighing. There's no other way. We need to get that chart.
I grimaced.
I have an idea, Nixie said. Can you hold the things with your magic?
I can try, but what if one of us gets stung by those things? There was only one vial of the antidote. I'm not even sure we have all the ingredients for it, I said. You guys saw what they did to Steeljack.
Nixis lifted his paws, unsheathing his claws.
Leave that to me, he said, showing teeth. You open the door, Miss Star. Lilith, you'll act as bait down the hall. Star, you'll hold the things with your magic and I'll jump down and attack.
I nodded as Nixies jumped up, grabbing onto the pipes running along the ceiling. Lilith trotted down to the other end of the hall, a pensive look on her face.
Ready?
I asked. She nodded.
Remember, if something goes wrong, I know, just do it,
she replied. I flared my horn, ripping open the door. The insect monsters took note almost immediately, heading towards the open door. They shrieked, flooding into the tiny hall. I reached out with my magic, enveloping the three monstrosities in a telekinetic grasp. I struggled, grunting loudly as I tried to keep the things under wraps. Nixies roared, dropping down from above and slashing and ripping into the floating insects. Greenish blood spurted from the monsters. One of the insects fell to the ground, rising and twitching. I grunted again as the remaining insects tried to break free of my telekinesis. Nixies turned his attention to them, snarling as he viciously struck. Within mere seconds, the other two insects dropped. I sighed, dropping the spell, panting hard.
Huh, Nixies said. These ones look smaller than the one you killed.
I blinked.
What?
I said. The hellhound pointed down its bodies. They were indeed smaller versions of the insect that had stung Steeljack. That meant...
Scree!
A vicious loud shriek echoed from inside the kennel as a much larger version of the creatures appeared. Based on its location, it had been sleeping in the pipes above the cages. I reached out with my magic, trying to pin it like the smaller ones. The monster broke through my spell almost immediately, buzzing straight at us. I growled, lifting Stargazer. I let out a burst of fire that seemed to slow the beast, but only for a second. It was getting closer fast. I hefted out my minigun, swinging it at the insect like a club. The force of the impact knocked the massive creature back, sending it bouncing off of the back wall of the kennel. I stepped inside the small room, intent on getting the chart and getting out without getting stung. The insectoid creature lifted into the air again, one of its wings holding it aloft shakily as it buzzed at an odd angle. I realized that it had been broken. The insect's eyes stared at me impassively as I aimed Stargazer. The thing shrieked loudly, turning its attention instead to an open air duct above it. Before I could get a shot off, the thing was inside, rattling it until it was completely gone. I blinked.
What's that?
I said.
Where did it go?
Lilith said, stepping into the kennel behind me.
It ran away, I said. It flew off into the air ducts.
I was feeling very confused. I looked down at my pipbuck. The last audio log held there taunted me. I looked down at where the chart was. I trotted over to it, clicking on the audio log.
Initiating Omega Threat Level Protocols! Initiating Omega Threat Level Protocols! Shit, 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 shit! Something's gone really wrong. The test subjects all got out of their kennels. I locked the kennels, but there were still workers inside. Oh, Luna, the screams. The worker from last week. One of those fucking things came out of his chest. We managed to subdue it, but not before it killed three ponies. And now we're getting Omega Threat Level alerts. Shit! This shit really has gone to shit. I just checked the kennel again. No sign of the test subjects. I was about to guess a whole chamber when I noticed one of the air ducts in the rear of the room. It was broken. Fuck me. Fucking Ministry is going to have my head for this shit. Those ducts lead to the outside. We just let out a deadly and dangerous creature into the Everfree. Fuck!
Rattle, rattle.
What was that? I heard a rattling coming from the ducts. Shit, shit. I'm placing the facility on lockdown. Hopefully I can find support leading outside and contain it. This is Head Researcher Sharpest Cut signing.
Static filled my ears as the recording cut off. I hung my head, closing my eyes. The audio log was genuinely disturbing, but explained why the creature had fled into the air ducts. They were using this place as a breeding area. The three we'd killed had been mere babies. My eyes widened.
Shit! We've got a one violet! These things are in the air ducts!
I shouted. Lilith saluted, spinning about and heading towards the upstairs. Nixies followed closely behind. I turned back to grab the chart. I had come far for this thing. I was not about to leave without it. I was about to float it out when a loud crash sounded. The wall opposite of me rumbled loudly, bricks showering forth and stopping me in my tracks. A massive hole had appeared in the wall, letting light in. This side of the research lab was sitting on the cliff edge, showing the Everfree Forest in all its glory. Floating in the air on the other side of the pony-sized hole was an alicorn with an orange coat and blonde mane and tail. Her eyes glowed a fierce dark orange, and a brightly glowing gem in the shape of an apple sat on her chest.
There you are. Now come along before I have to get her out, eh?
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Violet Iris, maximum level reached. Lilith, maximum level reached. Steeljack, maximum level reached. Patch unknown. Group quest perk. Everfree Marathon. Your romp through the Everfree Forest has strengthened your resolve, granting a +1 to your endurance. Narrator's note. Okay, there were a few things I wanted to say about this chapter, but quite frankly, I forgot most of them. Because in the middle of this last part, because for those of you who don't know or don't follow me on Twitter, I record these chapters actually in segments. In the middle of this last segment, right before the first audio recording, where Star finds the antidote, I went outside to have a smoke. What I noticed was my scooter was gone. So, basically, my scooter was stolen. So, I was standing there outside, having my smoke in my hand, and was thinking, oh fuck, where is my scooter? And then I looked down the street. You must imagine I live in a forest on a hill, and I looked down the hill and I saw, because you see, I have a sticker on my, on the back of my scooter, and I saw a flash of white down at another house, and I ran down the hill, and yeah, there was my scooter. So obviously someone has taken my scooter and just thought it was fun to drive it down the hill. And instead of, you know, using the stand mechanism to put it there, he or she just threw it against the building so it lay on its side. It seems to work fine. It lost all of its oil. But that's another matter entirely. That's a problem with the scooter in itself. When it's slightly to one side, then the oil tank isn't exactly shut, you know, can't keep the oil inside. So yeah, that's the reason I forgot everything I wanted to say about this chapter, because I was pretty angry. I called the police on this. So between that part where the audio message starts, where I was out for a smoke, and when I actually then started recording the audio message, between that and when I went out for a break was about 1.5 hours. So sorry, I forgot everything I wanted to say about this chapter. I know there were a few things where I facepalmed, but I just don't remember anymore. I'm sorry for this. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.